A few words now I want to leave you with as we have ended our formal sitting for the retreat. Some words of encouragement about ongoing meditating. Always want to do this. You know, coming in retreat like this, or longer, you know, multi-days, it's so strengthening for our meditation. It kick-starts meditation. Nobody actually said that when I said, why are you here? But a lot of people I know, it's just to reinvigorate your practice, you know, because it gets sketchy. For everybody, it comes and goes. It's hard to keep it sustained. And just to, get it kick-started, really. So I really encourage from time to time, do this, you know, do retreats. They're just so helpful. And then when you hear something, you can put it into practice in the hours and the quiet of the retreat, because these things, even though we hear them and we understand words and explanations, or we read them, to practice them is a whole other thing. To have them actually be in experience is another whole level. And so to take this, it's luxury to take the time away from the other busyness, to actually carve out several hours together to put these into practice. It's invaluable in the journey. I definitely wouldn't be able to teach what I teach and to have understood what I've understood without intensive time. There's no question in my mind. So I encourage you to do that when you can. But aside from retreat practice, there are several supports. Lots of you know this very well, but still it's worth mentioning always. To be supported by other people in whatever way. Download talks, have podcasts, read books, sit together with other people. So here in Victoria, there are several groups of people who sit together. Do you want to speak to what you know about that, Bruce, because you're here and...
Well, they're all listed on the website.
Oh, good.
VictoriaIns.org. Homestead groups are all listed on there with phone numbers and contact email.
Great.
And if you're interested, you have to contact the people that are running the homesteads.
Great. And is the Sunday night one continuing?
The Sunday night seat is continuing, but it's a little different format. So that's all laid out to you on the website.
Okay, but that's a 7 o'clock Sunday night sit.
Every Sunday night at the Lynn Wiley Yoga Studio at Bay of Shakespeare.
So those are useful, because it's just hard to do it. It's hard to do it on our own and keep it going. So one of the things that I find I want to say to you, and I've already said to a couple of our groups here in our theater sessions, that really, really I found useful for myself, is not to think of meditation practice. I'm now wanting to talk about daily meditation practice, because I really encourage daily meditation times. But not to think of that as something that you should do or must do or ought to do or will do, because that's the wrong kind of thinking. Rather than thinking of your meditation as a doing thing to add to the to-do list of things, have it be the times in your life when you take a break from the doing. And instead, it's the time when you can relax those fingers and you can relax back and take a break, take a rest, rest in being. The way we need to go outside for walks in nature so we can take a break from all the chores and all of the people and the same sort of thing, and the why we have to have lunch breaks. We have to stop working and we can have to just stop and regroup and nourish ourselves and calm down. Meditation is like that. It's a break from all of the responsibility and the worries and the planning and what we think of is the way we have to live our life, and remind us we actually need to be. We need to have many moments where we can be. Let's take a chunk every day where I can really not do anything. There's many different ways of supporting that. When I practice in the morning, especially in the winter time, I have a little routine before I get to the actual sitting part. And my routine is to flare up the fire, or you know, and to feed the cat, because that's the first thing. He's becoming increasingly... Wah, wah. He wakes me up now in the morning. He's old. Meta used to be my house sitter. He's still going 18 and a half years now. And to put the kettle on, wash my face, clean my teeth, pee, have a cup of tea, get the tea out, put the tea on the dining room table, and then I walk back and forth drinking tea, sipping tea. And all of that serves to kind of get me going and make me ready. And then I'll do some sitting. Sitting is really lovely if you have a nice place in which to sit, and really that helps. I'm selling to people who don't have established practices, reminding people whose practices have elapsed. This is who I'm talking to. The rest of you already know this and do this. So that you've got an attractive place with maybe a Mary Oliver poem or a book there or a picture or a few treasures or something, a comfortable spot that works for you that's designated, that's not you have to shift the dining room table so that you can go there, but some corner that's inviting, beautiful, sacred, like your own little baby temple, something. And but then when you go and you do the sit, then it's not that I'm going to meditate as though you're going to do a task, do a skill. Now let me just relax my mind. Let me just come home to being here. Here I am. Oh. And you will find when you're present that you're aware. And when you're aware, you will hear things and see things and smell things and feel things. You know, here is your body. And here are the sounds going on around you. And there I am knowing that. I'm not preoccupied with my agenda, planning and, okay, writing my shopping list for the day or my chores. And what I've done for years is I have a little piece of paper beside where I sit with a pen. And when an idea pops into my mind, I must do something. I write it down and then I can stop thinking about it. It's so that I don't have to preoccupy myself with it, because I'll think of things. I'm giving myself rest from the other way, the way that so runs me ragged, that's so tiring. And then it's such a pleasure. Oh. And it doesn't have to be first thing in the morning or only first thing in the morning. Go there every once in a while and take a little rest time. Calm down. Settle down. Come home. Feast on the simplicity of it. So it's a different attitude. And that's the actual formal sitting. And then in between formal sitting, whenever we're not engaged, we're not stimulated, you're not having to deal with anything very much, and there are moments in between moments, be in your body. Come into be aware of your body and the little household chores that it's doing. And you have to go to the bathroom several times a day, so be there. And you have to eat your lunch, so eat your lunch. Just eat your lunch. Eat your lunch silently every once in a while, and just eat it knowingly, gratefully, enjoy it. We miss a simple little, all those maintenance moments in life. We have to do them all the time. Be there for those. Take those as times to come out of your head and all of the busyness that you think you have to carry. There's so many moments like that. Of course, walk. Go for walks. That's what we're doing and why we know we must go walking. It's not just to clock the paces. It's to actually stop the other. You know. So anyway, cheerleader Heather. It's invaluable. And once we break the routine, we lose that thread. We don't lose it forever, but it gets sort of musty, that thread of being mindful. And when we can just maintain it gently, 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 then it's easy. It has its own momentum. It's lovely. So once it gets more established, once, you know, those people who've got really deeper or more established practices know the benefit of it and hold it really precious. But when it's sketchy, you know, we can forget its value. So there you go. That's my pep talk. Read books. There's such great books. Download talks. Yeah. Those things. Please, please.
What was the fifth most popular TED talk, the woman that had the brain?
So she was My Stroke of Insight. Jill Bolte Taylor, like Bolt with an E, Taylor. Jill Bolte Taylor.
Thank you.
Yeah. Fascinating, and much more fascinating if you read the book, as, you know, like, usually, because it's an 18-minute or 15-minute TED talk, and then the book's way richer. It's really, really helpful. Fascinating, very validating. Okay, and so just a few other little things as we come to the end. In what order do I want to say these? This is a thing I like to do. We did it yesterday. It's a reflection. It's a form of meditation. There are forms of meditation. There is contemplation, deliberate thinking of spiritual matters or sacred things. There's visualizations. There's guided meditations where somebody's talking you through something. There's concentration meditation where you exclude a lot of distraction and you get very simple, calmly focused. There's insight meditation, where you have an open lens and you observe life streaming by you and you watch your little clutch come and go. That's a very simplified version. Different kinds of meditations. Mantra meditations, prayer-type meditations. This is a reflection meditation, reflection contemplation. It's a kind of thinking. Let's think. Let's remember, realize, as we did yesterday, that we've been here for these hours and hours together, and not shopping and planning and driving and arguing and chopping vegetables. We've just been stilling our systems, slowing our pulse rate, lowering our blood pressures probably, coming into what's really going on underneath in our lives, softening our hearts, hopefully, calming the busyness in the minds to some degree. And because of that, our vibration is different. It's soother, more soother, that's a good word. Smoother, maybe. it's gentler. We're less pitched forward and hurling ahead, rushing. We're more available. You might not know it, but you are. We're more sensitive, more receptive, a little more grounded or centered. That means that how we now will meet the next moments in our life will be with more wisdom, with more of the goodness that we said we wanted to access when we came in. We will. We'll have more access to those shy, kind, caring, Carol's mother type aspects of ourselves. And that is why we do it. We do it because it feels great to be more calm. But really, what we're doing is we're helping. We're helping. We're being more creators of harmony than creators of conflict. We're contributing to the goodness in the world. We're making space. We're being more respectful. We'll notice what we didn't notice. We'll be less clumsy. We're nicer. It's a gift. We're giving this as a gift. It's not just our own journey. It is our own journey, but you can't keep it into yourself. It's going to all be spilling out. And so it's just really a good reflection that this is bigger than your own personal life. This is adding to something that's going on all the time. There's goodness going on in our world all the time. There's people being kind, people being patient, people helping people, people applauding people. You know what an applause is when we do this, what we're doing? According to the neurologists, if we could, we would be close to the person we're applauding, and we would be doing this to their back. We'd be saying, aww. But we can't reach them, they're far away, so we do it out loud so they know we're actually touching them. People are doing that all the time. Laughing together, you know, giving gifts, feeding. People are feeding people, carrying. Babies being carried around by the million today. We're adding to that, and we're taking a little bit away from the fighting and the conflict and the shutting down, and we're contributing. So that's why we do this. Let's keep it in that perspective. It's such a good thing for everyone. And then that's just people. What about the frogs come out now in Salt Spring? This is the season. They start coming up, and they start hopping across the roads. They're getting ready to get all mating, and then they get really noisy in February. So you have to be careful driving. Well, a little more meditation, a little more frogs get to make it across the road, you know. All over the place, stuff like that. So, yeah, it's a good thing. Good thing we're doing here. Good for us. Thank you for wanting to. Thank you for staying here, being here. Even if you remember a couple of little things I said, then I'm happy, satisfied. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Brian has now left. Thank you, Lise. Thank you, Metta. Julie, who's now left. All people behind the scenes who make these things work. Yeah, thank you, the Buddha. Thank you, my teachers. Thank you, my practice. Yeah. Without any one of those pieces, it doesn't happen. You know, everybody has to, so takes the whole lot. So I have a lot of gratitude.